Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Monday, February the 10th. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Hope you had a great weekend. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Brother Fred?
Doing wonderful.
Let me just say, gentlemen, that where we live today here in Tupelo, Mississippi, it would be the kind of day that Karen Carpenter would not be happy about, because it's
rainy days
and Mondays
together. Right. Together, huh? Yeah. It's a Monday and it's a rainy day.
I was looking looking at the map of the U.S. and the weather that's going on out there, and the weather usually typically goes on quote out there instead of in here. Right. But we got some at least across the southeast and maybe the Atlantic states, we got a real possibility of some major flooding going on.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's supposed to be very bad. We're supposed to have 6 inches of rain here in this area where our flagship station is before Thursday.
Yeah.
Three and a half inches today.
That's hurricane. Weather right there. I'm talking about in terms of the amount of rain,
right?
Or more, 6 inches. So it's a very serious threat to many people in the southeast. And again, I say it looks to me like it's probably going to go up the eastern seaboard. But wow, okay.
As bad as that is, thank God it isn't snow. Because that 6 inches of rain equates to about 36 inches of snow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You add 6 inches per inch.
You get 36 inches of snow here in Tupelo. I mean, you're going to shut down schools for 3 or 4 days. You know what I'm saying, Fred?
No kidding.
Talk about, we would be out of bread and milk and eggs till May.
That's right.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, with just one snowplow, that would be a
ton. Yeah.
So we don't want 36 inches of snow.
No.
Duly noted.
Yes.
All right. We hope you're having a wonderful Monday wherever you may be living, and we thank you for listening again to AFR. Hey, real quickly, before we jump into the news of the day, and there is plenty of it, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is just about full. I think we got 16 seats left, so we'll probably be full in the next week. I'm guessing week to 2 weeks. So our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown American History Tour with Stephen McDowell, the president of the Providence Foundation. Stephen goes on both the D.C. and the Williamsburg tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. But that's almost full as well for June. And we still have some seats on our September tours. We're halfway full there. But so, again, if you want to go with us in June or you want to go with us in September, on what I call a vacation with a purpose, then we'd love to have you. I'm not going to go through the whole itinerary or cost or everything like that because you can read it for yourself. Just go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Option 5, leave your name and your address. But everything is available at spiritualheritagetours, that's with an S, .com. All right, Fred, what do you got?
Well, we've got the first of the Democrat primaries tomorrow in New Hampshire. And Democrats are hoping that things go much better than they did for them in Iowa. Because there's been a call now from the Democrat National Committee for a... What is it? It's a recount of sort for the votes in Iowa. And Bernie Sanders said he would like some recounting done there. And I think most of our listeners are aware of what happened there last week. They had this new app. And this app was supposed to accumulate all the votes and quickly spit out the results. Now, the app, as we told everybody, was the creation of Hillary Clinton people. And so they designed this app that was supposed to simplify everything, and they had a huge mess. That's all you can. And Iowa may lose the right to be kind of the first out of the shooter elections from now on. Huge mess there. But they're hoping for better days in New Hampshire. And what's really interesting heading into the vote tomorrow in New Hampshire is the way things are starting to stack out after Iowa. Some of the latest polls this morning, Sanders up way out in front, followed by Buttigieg, and then Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. But some of the big news has to do with former Vice President Joe Biden. He is way back, like fourth or fifth in the field.
I think we all know why.
Yeah, he has problems. Mm-hmm. He has problems. There's no question. And they don't appear to stop. There was an incident over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There was a student, a 21-year-old student, Madison Moores, the young lady's name. She asked Joe Biden about Iowa, what happened there. You know, you didn't do too well there. And his response has a lot of people talking this morning. Cut number two.
Hi, my name is Madison, and I'm an econ student at Mercer University. And so you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So, in the participation. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. Number one, Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Uh-huh.
Now, people are scratching their heads this morning. What is that? What's a lion dog-faced pony?
I don't think it's a compliment.
No, I don't think so.
Huh?
Now, some people think it came from a John Wayne movie, but they're not sure about that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Have you Googled that?
Google that, Ed.
I am. I'm looking at the New York Post.
What did you Google?
That says the phrase from a John Wayne movie is one Biden has used several times before his campaign pointed out.
Let me understand this correctly. Are you saying that Joe Biden, the party of women, the Democrats, the Me Too...
Mm-hmm.
Feminist party, and one of the leaders of the party is calling a young reporter a quote dog face liar?
It's not even a reporter, just a student from Mercer
just
University.
Just a young innocent student.
Yeah,
He's calling her a dog. I don't know.
Yeah, now this woman you're talking about, Madison Moore.
Mm-hmm.
She, like you said, she's a college student. She said, I read an article that Biden said, Iowa was a punch to the gut,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not one to just push on wounds. I'm not trying to humiliate anyone. She was confused by this whole thing. She's just asking a legitimate question, and I've never seen the movie. As far as I know, I've never seen the movie. I don't remember the phrase. It sounded to me like he was just throwing words together. You know, spaghetti, cucumber.
Right.
Dog.
Moon refrigerator.
Moon refrigerator. And I would just
I'll
say, when I heard that, I thought, what does that even mean? And why would you call? He called her a liar. How does he know she's never been to a caucus?
Yeah.
He said, no. He said, have you ever been to a caucus? When she indicated she had, Biden responded, no, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. Okay, so how does he know that she's never been? He just called this girl a liar. Now, maybe she was lying. I don't know. I'm not defending her. But how does he know she's never been to a caucus?
That sounds like, let's be honest here, that sounds like a something that a drunk throws out in the middle of a argument. Huh? What is it?
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Right, yes. That's exactly. You got it good. Have you ever done that before?
Why? I've never called anyone that before.
Anyway, now, again, the hits just keep coming with Joe Biden.
There are more hits.
Shall we
review the Biden hits?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cut number three.
God rest her soul, and Although she's, wait, your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul.
Stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
You got the first sort of mainstream American,
yeah,
who is articulate and bright and clean.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
For me, it has to be demonstrated that whoever I pick is capable of needing to be a president because I'm an old guy.
And I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
Oh, that was his greatest hits collection right there, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Oh, there's
all on one CD. All on one CD.
The K-Tel record hits. Remember the old. Listen, he also was talking about kids like to come up at the pool and pull on the hair on his legs. Yeah. Just weird stuff. Stuff that just go, what, really?
You know what they're going to do? They're going to create one of those Time Life specials that we see at midnight on Channel 489. You know what I'm saying? The Greatest Hits collection by Joe Biden. Anyway, he is he's indefensible right now for the.
Do you think
John Kerry's trying to save him?
Yeah. Do you guys think this is the reason why he's low in the polls? Or is it because he's regarded as a moderate and the party is swinging left? Is it all these gaffes? Are they taking their toll?
I think it's all of it. I think it's part of it's the corruption suspicions, you know, in Ukraine with his son. I think, mm-hmm. you know, the people are going, come on, that smells dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he is moderate. It's the fact that he's an old white guy in a party that prizes youth and people of color. It's all these gaffes. I think it's people who want to move on, even from the Obama years, in a new, fresh direction, and he's old news. I think it's all of that. And plus, let me say this. I think it's also the fact that there are some people running for the Democrats who are drawing great enthusiasm, like Bernie Sanders. So that's just, you know, sucking away people who are on the fence. They're going, I'm going to go with someone who looks like they could take this thing.
There's a reason President Obama is supposed to have told his vice president, quote, Joe, you don't have to do this. I think that he's not up to the task, talking about Joe Biden. And all those reasons Ed just mentioned, he's not ideologically driven enough. The best thing for him to do is step away. Now, had you asked me a year ago, and you may have asked me, Fred, I don't remember. Had you asked me a year ago who can beat Donald Trump, I would have said Joe Biden. And I think that was the conventional wisdom of a lot of folks, and the polling data showed that as well. I didn't say that he would beat Donald Trump, but that he could beat Donald Trump as the best choice for the Democrats. But having seen him... live in concert with those hits you just played.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a chance against President Trump. I don't know who among the Democrats do, and they don't know who does. So,
well, the Democrat Party is suffering in this presidential election cycle.
It touches my heart.
Yeah.
I know that. I hate to see anybody suffer, especially.
But you know,
good people like
you've got these candidates, but also you've got the Mueller report, which didn't go their way.
Mm-hmm.
You've now seen the proof that during the impeachment trial, the President Trump's fortunes actually went up. The ratings have never been higher. Yet last week, after the Senate vote to acquit the president, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi comes up with the idea, well, we're going to continue more investigations and perhaps another impeachment round this year.
There's a winner right there.
Before the election. Listen to what she had to say. Cut number one.
So we will continue to do our oversight to protect and defend the Constitution, which is three co-equal branches of government, each a check and balance on the other. And we have some cases in court now, McCann and taxes and that. And That will take time. We didn't need to have that come to a fruition with it, because we had a strong enough case to impeach and remove. But those cases still exist. If there are others that we see as an opportunity, we'll make a judgment at that time.
Now, that's what she's talking about. This is the election year strategy of Nancy Pelosi, is let's continue the investigations.
Do they have any legislative agenda that they're pushing or promoting as an idea that the Democrats are going to champion as one that helps the American people out there? Or is it just the resistance day and night, 24/7? You see what I'm saying
there?
At some point, you can get some votes. You can get a lot of votes by saying you're against something or someone, but you also got to have something you say you're for doing. Or we are doing this now, or we sent this to the president's desk and he has, we're asking him to sign. I mean, this is just, they act like they are the constant prosecutors here.
You legislatively, you have two choices if you're the Democrats, because you only control the House, you don't control the Senate. You have a hostile president who's probably going to veto.
Hostile to you.
Hostile
to the Democrats. They're hostile to him.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying from the Democrats' perspective, that's what they're facing. So you have two options. You can, as the House, you can pass lots of bills, and then you tell people in the lead up to the 2020 election, look, we passed all these bills and the Republicans in the Senate blocked them, or the Republicans in the Senate did pass those, but President Trump vetoed them. Give us the Senate and give us the White House, and this is what we'll do. Or your other option is to say, we know we can't get anything passed that'll go past the Senate and the President, the White House, so we're not going to do anything, but here's what we will do in the future once we get the Republicans out of the way. Those are your only two choices as Democrats, and they have chosen to do neither of those.
Yeah.
All they've chosen is to spend the last, a year and a half since the 2018 election, going after Trump. Mm-hmm. They've done nothing to make their case to the American people that more Democrats in the Senate and in the White House is the answer.
Let me ask you this, just to boil this down to where we are right now, the political scene. On the Democrat side, can Bernie Sanders be stopped at this point?
We're
real early here. We got Super Tuesday, but go ahead.
I think we have to wait until Nevada and South Carolina before Super Tuesday.
Okay.
I think there'll be a lot of people who are waiting to Super Tuesday to make their pick. He will probably win handily New Hampshire, but winning Iowa and New Hampshire doesn't, I don't think, really translates necessarily into getting the nomination. It gives you a leg up, but I'd have to wait and see. If he wins New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, then I think it's very difficult to stop Bernie Sanders.
What do you make of Buttigieg climbing? Because he's number two, just 5 points back, according to the latest polls this morning, behind Sanders. Is he being perceived as the moderate threat to Sanders? I'm trying to think of what people are seeing in this. As people have pointed out, Buttigieg, all he's done elective, has been a mayor of a city.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. So. But how do you explain? I think the polls this morning, Real Clear Politics, have Bernie Sanders at 26, Buttigieg at 21, and then the others are way back.
Right.
So, and he did well in Iowa, apparently.
He did. He's only a couple states over, from Indiana. Look, you survey the top of the Democratic field. Now, we were talking about Joe Biden. The New York Times reported last year, this is how we found out about President Obama. And this is what the New York Times said, that earlier, about a year ago in 2019, when Joe Biden was announcing that he was going to run, the New York Times reported that President Obama said, Joe, you don't have to do this. Furthermore, that according to sources, Obama met with top Biden advisors, try to stop Joe Biden from doing this, is what the New York Times said Obama told them. So that Biden does not embarrass himself, use those words, embarrass himself or damage his legacy. So I think that's what you see. You see the Biden candidacy is falling apart. Elizabeth Warren is just, I think, a strange duck. I don't think people want to kind of, I'm using mixing metaphors, ride that horse to the convention. I don't think she has any staying power. So what are you left with? You've got Bernie Sanders, who represents the radical wing. You're going to have a lot of Elizabeth Warren supporters drifting to Bernie. And now who does the establishment have left? They've got Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, who's a senator from Minnesota. And that's it. Who else you got? So people who see Biden's candidacy as falling apart, you got those two people, Buttigieg and Klobuchar. That's it.
Can Bloomberg buy his way into this nomination?
I think it depends on how desperate the Democratic establishment supporters are.
Hmm. Yeah, but that's the antithesis of what Bernie Sanders stands for.
Right. Billionaire.
Is billionaires buying their way into the process. So, I mean, you talk about there's no way that Bernie Sanders could or would endorse, I don't think, Mike Bloomberg, especially if he, as I say, cuts line.
Yes. Huh? Well, Michael Moore, the documentary leftist right. documentary maker, who's a Bernie Sanders supporter, angry at Bloomberg trying to your point, cut line, buy his way in, a billionaire.
Well, he spent $300 million on ads. I don't know. If you go to YouTube, the social media, his ads are everywhere.
And constantly.
Yes.
So these are, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching every time these ads appear somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. But President Trump is feeling good, and he's, you know.
Yeah, he's going to New Hampshire tonight. Talk about salt in the wounds.
And were you saying that people were lining up on Saturday morning for his speech tonight?
You know what?
In New Hampshire,
President Trump continues to what do you call it when you go against conventional?
Break the mold.
Break the mold. Whatever you want to say. Yeah. Here is the. No wonder he gets under the skin of the Democrats, to say the least. Here they're trying to have their primary where the nation will look at them, and that will be the big news story. But then you got this guy coming in to hold a big rally that's going to be 100 times bigger than anything we can do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just like can't you stay out of our state while we're having our primary?
But you know what? This is also a defeat for the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats, you know, the media is in the pockets of the Democrats. And yet the American people are not listening to the media anymore. They're not.
Yeah, their influence has waned quite a bit. And I'm watching. Anyway, I don't, it doesn't look good at all. I think you could be headed for, they talk about what's called a brokered convention in Milwaukee this summer for the Democrats. That is, you know, the convention, the Democrats are too divided, so somebody's got to be the savior and come in on the
well, here's horse. The rest of the month here, of course, we have New Hampshire tomorrow. 11 days later is the Nevada caucuses. A week after that is South Carolina primary.
Yep.
Then March 3rd,
Super Tuesday.
Over 1,300 delegates. You have Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia, all on that day.
Yep.
Over 1,300 delegates. That within a month, we could have a really good idea of who the Democratic nominee is going to be.
But you could also, but I'm just saying, you could also end up at the end of the summer with a Democrat Party that is separated, a divided House completely, maybe even a splintering party, parties. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Your lying dog-faced pony soldier. That's what Vice President Joe Biden said to the 21-year-old girl in response to her question. Just strange.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here from American Family Association and American Family Radio, where I serve as president. Hey, one of the special places we go on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. is Arlington National Cemetery. Everyone on our tour gets so excited about that day when we visit the cemetery because of the patriotism that we all have and the love for our country and the appreciation for the men and women who've given their lives for our nation, for our freedoms, for our liberty, for our way of life. We're going to be visiting Arlington National Cemetery on the Friday of our spiritual heritage tours in Washington, D.C. in June and September, and we'll be seeing and experiencing the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you want the information on these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. There are growing calls from lawmakers to censure House Speaker Nancy Pelosi after she tore up a copy of President Trump's State of the Union address on national television. Pelosi remains defiant. She called the president's remarks a dirty speech. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich said he was disgusted and insulted by Pelosi's behavior. It was incredibly disrespectful to those Americans who were mentioned in the president's speech, including the families of Rocky Jones and Kayla Mueller, two Americans who were killed on American soil by illegals. Democrats, meanwhile, are saying Pelosi did not go far enough. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said the speaker should have shredded the president's speech. Many years ago, Congressman Joe Wilson shouted, "You lie," during a speech by President Obama. He was castigated by the mainstream media. For some odd reason, though, the mainstream media has turned a blind eye to Speaker Pelosi's behavior. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, if I was a fire chief in Milwaukee, I'd be really worried right now. Huh? Fred?
Yeah.
And you're talking about because that is going to be the scene of the Democratic National Convention.
When is that?
Is that July?
In the summer.
July, I believe, yeah.
Well, it's the Bernie Sanders, one of the spokespersons or for him in Iowa, remember the undercover tape that mm-hmm. we saw? Said that if Bernie Sanders doesn't win the nomination, Milwaukee will burn. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
That's right. And he said police will be beaten.
That's what I'm talking about. Now that didn't get any national coverage hardly on the mainstream media because it made Bernie Sanders and the Democrats look bad.
Mm-hmm. Which is shocking. Are you saying that the media is playing favorites?
I'm going to say they cover. They downplay.
Yeah.
The something like that.
By the way, July 13th through the 16th.
Is that when it
the
is?
DNC, mm-hmm. The convention.
And the Republicans are in Charlotte. Is that right? For the summer?
I believe so.
I'll check.
Yeah. Anyway, we will see what happens. How do you pronounce the mayor's name, Mayor Pete?
Buttigieg.
That will be in Charlotte, August 24th through the 27th, a month and a half after.
Buttigieg. Just a personal observation here, too. You know, he's gay. And I think the vast majority of Americans don't consider that a disqualifying.
Not publicly.
Publicly. Hmm. But I don't think that the majority of Americans are ready to see two men kissing on stage either, mouth to mouth.
Nope.
Huh?
No.
You see that the other day?
No.
And what do you do if he's in the White House? Do you have a first man? First husband?
Well, you would.
Huh?
You would.
You think?
This is bizarro world, man. This is we are into territory that I never dreamed possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just it's one thing to say, hey, I'm not biased or I don't believe in disqualifying people because their sexual orientation. That's all okay. We can talk about that.
That's all hypothetical. You're saying
that's all hypothetical. That's different than watching two men go mouth to mouth on a stage in front of the country.
Right. As the first of many times, if you're thinking of putting that
couple
in the White House.
Huh? I mean, that is a, I think that is something maybe somebody else doesn't want to say out loud, but I think I'm saying what a lot of people think who wouldn't say that.
Right.
That, again, that's nothing about the humanity of Mayor Pete. God loves him, but God would have him repent of his sin,
right,
of homosexuality. Yeah. I will just say that. But I just don't think the visual of that is something that people want to see.
Well, you have that. But what a lot of people do not remember, he's very hostile against biblical Christians.
Yes.
Very hostile.
Through Mayor Pete?
Yes. There is an excellent
He claims
article.
To be a Christian himself.
Yes, he does.
And he believes that God made him homosexual and approves of it.
Yes, and he doesn't like people who quote the Bible to him about these. Mary Vaught, who is the wife of Russell Vaught. Remember Russell Vaught, Wheaton grad, who was ridiculed by Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Russell Vaught is now a deputy budget director, I think, at the White House. Remember Bernie Sanders said Russell Vaught wasn't qualified for a federal job because he believed in the exclusivity of the gospel.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
We played that.
That was during the confirmation process.
Yeah. Mary Vaught, his wife, wrote an article for Daily Wire last week and pointed out, this is very interesting, folks, and you should listen to it. Buttigieg was extremely critical of First Lady or Second Lady Karen Pence. You remember this story back several months ago? Karen Pence taught at a private Christian school.
Yes.
You remember that? And Buttigieg was out there, ridiculed the Pences, and likened their religious views to that of Pharisees. Now, that's what he thinks of Christians who live according to God's word and would teach at a Christian school. He openly attacked the
Well, Pences it's the whole false narrative against Christians who have believed what the Bible says, and it's been understood. It's not, you don't have to read between the lines on homosexual behavior in the Bible, whether it's sin or not.
Right.
Huh? It's clear. Homosexual behavior, according to the Bible, is forbidden.
Right.
Okay? Just like sex before marriage is, or sex outside of marriage is.
Right.
When it comes to human sexuality, God lays out his standards clearly. So, it's only been the last 10 to 20 years that this idea of Christians who somehow find the Bible unclear on this has risen. What was the singer recently? Lauren Daigle.
Lauren Daigle.
The popular Christian singer, Lauren Daigle. She's kind of representative of where a lot of these, but some Christians act like they are today, and that is, it's a mystery whether homosexuality is a sin.
Yeah, isn't she the one who said, I don't know, if you know, let me know, because I have friends who are gay, and I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah, she was asked whether homosexuality was a sin. Lauren Daigle was, and she says, I don't know. Right, exactly.
Right.
She says, I got friends who are gay, and I love them very much, so I don't know. If you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah.
That's what she. That was her answer to the question. I'm just saying.
That's a pathetic answer. That is a pathetic answer for someone who writes worship songs.
No, that's an answer she knows the answer to, but doesn't want to give. You're right. She knows it is. If she's been a Christian for how long?
I don't know. She's
anyway. I'm just saying that. But it's very unpopular in the media. A lot of the media. And certainly the circles she runs in, that is music industry, the arts, where there's a lot of gay people,
right?
There are. Everybody knows this. But I'm just saying, let's get this back to our main point here, that Buttigieg was going after Mike Pence and his wife, Karen, because they hold the belief that Christians have held for 2,000 years.
That's right.
Based on what the Bible teaches. So this isn't some, quote, bigotry that or homophobia that comes out of nowhere. And by the way, the left always gets to define those terms, don't they?
Right.
So you can't say, well, I'm opposed to homosexual behavior, but I love homosexuals. You know what I'm saying? Hate the sin, love the sinner. You can't say that.
Right.
That's unacceptable. That is, no. The fact that you believe that homosexuality is a sin based on the Bible, that alone disqualifies you from the public debate. Because am I right?
Right.
In their minds.
Yes. And people like Pete Buttigieg, who say they're Christians, and yet promote what God's word clearly says is sin, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And Christians ought to be extremely careful before allowing that view into their church, because we are called to defend the word of God and the truth and the doctrine therein handed down from the apostles.
Another red flag for Buttigieg is that he's a full endorser of Nancy Pelosi's proposal for the Equality Act legislation.
Yes.
Be aware of that. Now, listen, in the same article written by Mary Vogt, listen to this. When explicitly asked about religious freedom, Buttigieg claimed, and here's a quote, "The right to religious freedom ends where religion is being used as an excuse to harm other people," end quote.
Okay, harm. Other people, they're going to say that same person who would believe that would say, "Your pastor is teaching that homosexuality is a sin. That is harmful to the people listening to that, and maybe to some family members who have gay children. That's harmful. So we need to shut that down." I mean, that's the kind of thing. That may be an extreme example, but that's where they're headed with this.
I think that's exactly where they're headed, because that is what Bernie Sanders said to her husband, Russell Vought.
Yes.
Saying this man is not qualified for work in the federal government because he believes Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Yeah.
Not qualified.
Yes.
Shouldn't have a job in the federal government. That's what Bernie Sanders says. That's what Pete Buttigieg says. And so... Listen, with all his flaws, all the things he's done wrong in the past, okay, President Trump has plenty of, you know, things for people to go, but that does not compare to what these people are saying.
Yes.
You know, Donald Trump's past 12 years ago, all right, for all the never-Trumpers, okay? We're talking about war against the gospel and the Christian community.
Yes.
I mean, I just don't understand how people can't see the difference here.
Yeah, and don't forget, at this moment, Sanders and Buttigieg are number one and number two.
That's right.
In the ranking.
And could be a ticket. It could be a Sanders-Buttigieg ticket. You know, boy. if they go to the convention and they want to work that out. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're talking about a socialist and an open homosexual who is against religious liberty when it conflicts with sexual license, let's say that, instead of sexual liberty. You could have those two at the top of the Democratic ticket.
I don't know. By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We are live video streaming on YouTube and Facebook if you'd like to watch the show there. just type in today's issues. I've watched Mayor Pete a few times talk. By the way, he has a great radio voice.
So he
could probably make it. If he doesn't make it as president, he could probably take over.
Who does?
Casey Kasem. Buttigieg.
Oh, yes. You think he has a good radio voice?
He does. He's very deep. I'm not kidding. That's the first thing I thought when I heard him talk. However, let me just say this. Having heard him talk about issues, I think I know as much as he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as very deep a policy guy. Now, some would say, well, President Trump wasn't either. He had general ideas that he believed in that he wanted to implement, and that's true. Although President Trump could wax eloquent on trade.
That's right.
Or China.
And a proven businessman.
South Bend, Indiana only has 102,000 people.
Yes.
That's relatively small as a city in America. So that
he's not going to win. Come on. He's not going to beat President Trump in an election. Now, he and Bernie Sanders combining might be a formidable team. I don't know. I don't think so. I think President Trump still wins going away. But let me just say this. What I mean was Mayor Pete, when he was criticizing President Trump for taking out Soleimani, that terrorist from Iran, it was a very pathetic answer. He said President Trump needs to treat the military with, you know, responsibly or something. I mean, he didn't even address the issue at hand here, you know, whether or not. Now, some of the Democrats believe that, you know, President Trump assassinated this guy and it violated international law. All the Democrats do, right? They don't believe we should have taken out Soleimani.
I think a couple of them said it was, I think Biden might have said it was, I don't know.
Yeah, Gabbard didn't. I saw her. Right. Of course, she's not in the race anymore. I saw her the other day. She called it an assassination. You know, Bernie Sanders is going around saying we can't go around killing leaders of states, basically. So I don't. They've got the Democrats have a problem on that front too, because I think the majority of American people agree with what the president did there in taking out Soleimani. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What do you got next, Fred?
Well, one of those stories from last week that didn't get a lot of play at the time. But it's still being talked about. You will remember that last week during the Senate vote, Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney was the one Republican senator who voted to convict the president. And in his interview with Chris Wallace, you will remember Romney said, you know, he did some heart searching about this and, you know, asked God for direction and that sort of thing. And you combine that with Nancy Pelosi. Remember, she said she was praying for Donald Trump?
Right.
Well, let's play those two clips first, and then I want to play you how the president responded to those two who evoked God in their decisions against Donald Trump. Cut number 11 first.
But my promise before God required that I put my personal feelings and political biases aside.
I pray for the President of the United States, and I pray for the United States of America.
Well, last Friday morning or last Thursday morning was the National Prayer Breakfast.
It was Thursday morning.
So that's less than 24 hours after the Senate acquitted President Trump. President Trump got up to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast. And he decided, this was probably one of the unscripted portions of that speech. He decided to let his feelings be known about Romney and Pelosi evoking prayer. Cut number 12.
I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that that's not so.
Now, the president has taken some criticism in certain quarters for that, Christian Post and others have been talking about. But we talked to Pastor Robert Jeffress, well-known to our audience here, Pastor First Baptist in Dallas. And he's an advisor to the president, but he defended the president going after Romney and Pelosi for evoking God. Cut number 10.
This president, he absolutely hates phoniness. He can smell it a mile away. And the president thinks there's something inherently phony about saying that you're praying for him while you're working 24/7 to destroy him. And by the way, the Bible supports his skepticism. James 3:10 says we shouldn't be blessing and cursing people at the same time.
That's Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. So,
well, I said this on Thursday, and this is probably not popular, you know, but I did not think the president should have. I set first the my observation that the president seemed very tired and weary mm-hmm. when he was making those and has been under tremendous strain. I certainly understand the
sounded like he had a cold or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it just he's probably exhausted with this. But I didn't think at the prayer breakfast that was the right time to go after your political opponents for this reason. The prayer breakfast, whatever you think of its value, it should be to turn people's attention to God, not to your own personal pain. But I'm not in his shoes, so I'm not really criticizing him. I just think that should have come at a different time. So that's probably not a very popular view. I'm not overly critical of the president. That's one of those times when I think he should have chosen a
So the timing was wrong.
The timing. The prayer breakfast... That's not what the prayer breakfast is about.
Okay.
I didn't think.
Okay.
You know, now the Arthur
But if
Brooks,
you said that at another venue.
Yes, no, that's fine. I think, like with Robert Jeffress, I think he absolutely is justified in questioning the sincerity of Nancy Pelosi saying, I pray for you. Because in parentheses, I'm thinking what she's not saying is, I pray for you to fall down the stairs and break your neck. You know, because to me, that's mm-hmm. her attitude has been one of constantly attacking this man, and so I certainly don't think that that's sincere. I just didn't like the venue for that kind of thing.
I don't know, not to be contrarian and enter a theological debate with you, Ed, that could last for a seminary
right
seminary season. But I think I understand what President Trump's saying about Nancy Pelosi. But you can be opposed to somebody and pray for them. I didn't like much of anything President Obama did, but I prayed for him. Now, not every day.
Right.
And I had an angel and a devil going at it, whether I should pray for him. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. I mean, that's
But I don't think it's necessarily contradictory to be opposed to somebody politically and then also pray for them. I know the Bible says we're to pray for those who are in authority. It doesn't say... Pray for those who are in authority who agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's fair.
So anyway. but with Nancy Pelosi and the history that she's had in the last couple, 3 years, and especially saying we've been planning impeachment for 3 years. She's been a part of the resistance. I mean, it's different than just somebody who's opposed to you politically because they have different ideas. No, they're opposed to President Trump because they hate his ideas, all of them, and they hate him, and they hate the people who voted for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're listening to Today's Issues. All right.
People, speaking of people who probably hate the ones who voted for Trump, there was the annual gathering in Hollywood last night of the great minds of the universe.
sarcasm meter pegged out on that one.
It's sometimes called the Oscars, and read all about it this morning.
They everywhere. Still have those?
I'm shocked that I missed that. I watch that every year faithfully. I'm just kidding.
All right. And because they are amongst those, shall I say, hate Donald Trump, severely dislike,
absolutely,
whatever the case may be, they could not resist taking their shots. Brad Pitt was among them on the Senate impeachment trial. He spoke about that. Documentary filmmaker Julia Reichert. And then there was Joaquin Phoenix. Now, they didn't all name Trump, but there was certainly political overtones to what they had to say. Here's cut number 9.
They told me I only have 45 seconds up here, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week.
Working people have it harder and harder these days. And we believe that things will get better when workers of the world unite.
Whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby. Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
Is he the speechwriter for Biden?
That's Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, my bad. I thought that was...
Yeah.
I was going to say, Biden needs to get him a new speechwriter, because that was the Joker?
He played the part of the Joker. He also played the part of the corrupt emperor in Gladiator.
What was the deal? He lost me at cow's milk.
He was pretty...
He's an animal rights guy.
I was
tracking with him to that point, and then he started... And he went
off. You were kind of tracking with queer rights.
Well, I was trying my best to understand the guy's quote logic.
Yeah.
Well, I felt really bad because I put milk in my coffee every morning.
So did Brad Pitt start it all with his I got 45 seconds, which is more than the Senate gave John Bolton?
I don't know if he started. I'm sure they all applauded him for his bravery. Oh, you took a swipe at Republicans in Congress. You are so brave, Brad.
Yeah.
Who's the lady?
Julia Reichert. I don't know if our audience picked up on that phrase she
Who
used.
Is she? Now?
Workers Unite. She was one of the producers on the Obama documentary, so we know where her politics.
That's from the Communist Manifesto.
Yes, it's Marx.
Right. Workers of the World Unite.
Yes. She was quoting Karl Marx.
Oh, yeah. You talk about classic limousine liberal talk. She's sitting up here talking to millionaires and people who live in gated communities and have private security and they're living the good life.
Well, come on, Tim.
And she wants to lecture us about the workers of the world?
Yeah, but communist leaders always had all those things you talked about. The gated communities and the private security and the vacation homes along the Black Sea and the Crimea.
Now, yes, duly noted, Ed. But now Joaquin Phoenix, he went off into play Joaquin again. Let's hear a little bit of Joaquin's
He's the last.
They told me I only have 45 seconds up here.
Pitt.
Yeah,
which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week.
Okay.
Working people have it harder and harder these days. And we believe that things will get better when workers of the world unite.
Whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
Listen, I guarantee this guy is in favor of aborting unborn children.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's
also whacked.
Oh, he's a nutty guy. I think.
Huh? He may be a great actor, but he is. He's out there.
By the way, I think
he's
there
out
is
there
some,
with Jim Carrey.
Yes, exactly right. The now artist known as Jim Carrey. I think there is some question about Workers of the World Unite, if that is in the original Communist Manifesto, or whether it was added later. So,
okay.
Fred, Ed, and I just want to thank you for bringing those Hollywood quotes to our attention this morning.
I knew you wanted to hear it.
It's impacted our lives.
Listen, I love the one about animal rights. My wife would probably be in favor of animal rights.
That sounded like more like a Joaquin Phoenix stream of consciousness right there, didn't it? Huh? Where did he end up? Did he ever stop? Did they have to?
I don't know.
Did they have to hook him off the stage? We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.